Okay. So our goal, Siyata Dishmaya, tonight is try to go through the first six shirim. Okay, and most importantly, as we mentioned last time, even though we're generally going in order, since the way lots of shirim that Rav Twersky gives end up taking form in a way that a couple of shirim later he comes back to a point and reworks it, so I might skip around just in order that things are as organized and as presentable and a complete picture as possible. So we're actually going to cover a little bit more than the first six shirim, but it will be interwoven with the other things that we do. Okay, so starting with shir number one. All right, it's the first sugya. It's mitzvah Yosef mi v'shlucho, and we have three main shittas that Rav Twersky mentioned in understanding, first of all, what the mitzvah that the Gemara is referring to is. Okay, and the Ran, most notably, which we're going to go into more, Bezras Hashem, is of the opinion that the mitzvah in the Gemara is a mitzvah puravu. Okay, and even though the woman, who the Gemara also says is shayach to this klal of mitzvah Yosef Shlucho, as referred to in the Mishnah, when it says that the woman is able to be mamana shliach l'kabel kedushin, so even though that woman is not mechuyeves in puravu, the fact that she's misayeya to the Baal to be mekayim his mitzvah puravu, so that itself puts her in the parasha mitzvah Yosef Shlucho, and again, even though she's not mitzvah herself, the fact that she helps the Baal out, the fact that she helps him out himself, herself, through being mekabel kedushin on her own and not sending the shliach, that attains the milah of mitzvah Yosef Rav Shlucho. Okay, that's pshat number one. Pshat number two is what the korban nesanal brings down. The mitzvah of l'sheves yitzara, l'sobro l'sheves yitzara, that the Gemara tells us, based on Pesukim Yeshaya, that even once a person has been mekayim the mitzvah of Pur Revu itself, Mishnah has machlokas b'sham and Beis Hillel, what you have to do to be mekayim Pur Revu, one boy, one girl, according to Beis Hillel. Beyond that, there's still a mitzvah to have more children afterwards. And Tosas and Gittin, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, says that everyone is mechayiv. Everyone is chayiv in that mitzvah. Even if you're not chayiv in Pur Revu, you are chayiv in l'sheves yitzara. So it could be that that's what the woman is accomplishing over here, that her mitzvah is Pur Revu. I'm sorry, her mitzvah is l'sheves yitzara, and her chelek, when done on her own, in being niskadeshus to the Baal, is able to achieve the milah of mitzvah Yosef Rav Shlucho. And finally, we also mentioned the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs counts Kedushin as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, and assuming that she also has that mitzvah of Kedushin, so then that's the most clear understanding of the Gemara, that we find that she is chayiv in Kedushin, and therefore when she's makabel Kedushin on her own, she's achieving this milah of mitzvah Yosef Rav Shlucho. And that's why the Gemara brings our Mishnah when it says that the woman can be mekabel kedushin on her own through the as opposed to through the shaliach. That's what the Gemara is referring to, that she has a milah mitzvah Yosef Rav Shlucho. Okay, so now we want to focus on the Ran for a little while. The Ran again says that the mitzvah is puro revu. Now, whether or not she's helping the Baal, whether she has her own mitzvah puro revu, there's one opinion, I think the Shita Lo'anozal Ami brings down one side, that the woman is chayiv midrabanan, but in either case, l'maisa puro revu is only going to be a hechsher mitzvah in our situation, because all she's doing is being makabel kedushin, right? She's not having any kids, she's not even having bia necessarily. She's only being makabel kedushin, so that at best is going to be a hechsher of the mitzvah puro revu. And nevertheless, the Ran says that that's pshat in the Gemara. So what's the problem with that? Because all the cases that the Gemara uses as a paradigm for the concept of mitzvah Yosef Shlucho from the Amoraim who prepared for Shabbos, right, lechora those are mitzvahs themselves, not just hechsher mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah kavod Shabbos to prepare the meal, to cut the fish, to cut the vegetables, whatever it is. So how can the Ran bring a raya in his understanding of the Gemara, that just like you have a concept of mitzvah Yosef Rav Shlucho by the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos, who adin, I have a mitzvah Bo Yosef Rav Shlucho and a Hechsher mitzvah. Maybe they're not comparable. Maybe when it comes to a mitzvah Bifnei Atzma, so then there is a mile of doing it on your own. But maybe by a Hechsher mitzvah, like the Makabel Kedushin, which is only a Hechsher for Pur Revu, maybe you don't have the mila in that situation of mitzvah Bo Yosef Rav Shlucho. So that's our main issue. So now, when we look in the Rambam, in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, so the Rambam clearly delineates between the halachos in which he's discussing the mitzvah of owning Shabbos and the mitzvos and the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. Right, the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos is described in the first several halachos in that parak, parak lamed of Shabbos, and afterwards you have oneg. So now what we find very clearly is that preparation of food on Erev Shabbos is in that part of the parak that describes oneg, right? So now, obviously, if oneg means pleasure that I get on Shabbos, so if the Rambam discusses the preparation of food in that section of the parak, so it must be that what I'm mekayim over there is a hechsher mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. By preparing for the food, by preparing the food that I'm going to be able to eat on Shabbos itself, so I'm mekayim a hechsher mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. Okay? So now, that would be pretty good, okay? That would set us off on the right foot, because now we can learn that what the Amoraim in the Gemara were doing by preparing food on Erev Shabbos was a hechsher mitzvah. So the Ran has a great raya. He says, just like we find the paradigm of mitzvah Yosef Mishlucho is even by the hechsher mitzvah of Onik Shabbos that the Amoraim did, so who it did, I'll bring that over to the hechsher mitzvah Purvu, which is accomplished through Kedushin. Okay? So that's where we're standing right now. That would be very nice. But we run into a little bit of a problem. Because in Halacha Vav, which the Rambam still has in the section of the Perek that talks about the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, the Rambam talks about things that l'chora are not consistent with our parameters of what's Kavod Shabbos and what's Onik Shabbos. Dahainu. We know things that are definitely Kavod Shabbos. A person is, has a chiyuv to wash himself, to take a shower before Shabbos starts, to clean the house. All the things that are preparations for the knis of Shabbos, so that he comes into Shabbos in a certain state of being prepared. He has to sit b'kovet rosh, the Rambam says, all the things that are the manner in which he enters Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, so that's why we understand that that all the examples that the Rambam has of Kavod Shabbos will be bechlal things that have a kiyum b'shaito. And Tversky explained that that's even true when it comes to the din, that you're not supposed to eat on Erev Shabbos to the extent that you won't be hungry at night, because he actually, when he said a similar word like this in the Shurman Psachim, so he said it's the mushrooms when you have a guest coming over. So you're not going to stuff yourself before the guest comes, and then when he comes, he's going to sit and eat all on his own while you are too stuffed to have anything because you ate before. So the point is that I have a kiyum, even right now, even before Shabbos, when I'm not eating, that that's called Kavod Shabbos. Just the fact that I don't eat now, that itself is the anticipation for Shabbos. I'm coming into Shabbos hungry. Again, all the different examples of Kavod Shabbos that the Rambam lists will fall under this category, kiyum and b'shaito. And that's goofa why what we discussed before, preparation of food, is not a kiyum b'shaito, but rather it's all just in anticipation of what's going to be on my table later. I need to prepare the food so that I'll be able to have a nice suda at night. Okay. The problem is in Halacha Vav, the Rambam mentions things that lechora are also in the same category, that are only preparations for what I'm going to be doing later, and not things that right now help me out in being prepared for the Knesset of Shabbos. Let's look that inside, just to be a little more clear on that. Again, the Rambam Perek Lamed of Shabbos, Halacha Vav. So he gives the examples of mefatzel ha'itzim levashel behen. Right, you're preparing the wood so that you can cook the food that you're going to eat tonight. Right? So we would have expected that to be later in the parak when he talks about hechsher for oneg, and nevertheless he puts that in the section that's devoted to Kavod Shabbos. So that's our question. So what Rav Tversky explained is that when you look at the beginning of that halacha vav, it says afal bishaya adam choshev bioser, even though someone who is very choshev, vein dak lichach dvar min hashuk, and he's not normally accustomed to going out to the store, to the market, to buy things, v'lo l'sasik b'malacha shebabayis, or to be involved with work in the house, chayv lasos dvarim shein l'tzorach Shabbos begufo shezehu kvodo. So he's mechuyev to do things to physically be involved in the preparation of Shabbos, shezehu kvodo. So the question is, what do the words shezehu kvodo mean? So some Rishonim understand, the Torah and the Mechaber seem to go like this, that what the Ram means is Shezeh Hu Kvodo, okay? Shezeh Hu Kvodo, that this is the way a person is Mechabe Shabbos. The Kvodo is I'm sorry, Zeh Hu Kvodo is the cover of the person. That by being Mevazeh himself, he is actually being Mechabed himself by the fact that the Bizoyon is being done on behalf of Shabbos. But Rav Twersky suggested another pshat that Zeh Kvodo is Kovod Shabbos. And sometimes we find that sometimes we find that Shabbos is referred to in Lashon Zachar. Twersky pointed to in the Shirm in Ksubas, he pointed to the fact that we find it Shabbos day. So in Shemona Esrei, at the end of the main bracha of Mekayesh HaShabbos, the Lashon in the Tefillah is V'yanuchu Bo, right? As opposed to Bo and Bam, but sometimes we find that Shabbos is referred to as Bo in Lashon Zachar. So Zeh Kvodo, the Bizayin that the Adam Chashev does to himself, is actually covered Shabbos. So in this way, now we understand why these dinim can be found in the first part of Perek Lamed, where the Ram is discussing kavod, even though the actions themselves would have been more appropriate for Hechsher Onig, as we described before. And of course he pointed out later in Shir Vav that we find in the Kuntres Chanukah Megillah that that one of the children of the Brisker Rav quoted a similar understanding from the Brisker Rav as well. So now, what we just did is we figured out the Pshat and the Ram himself. So now, when we go back to the Gemara that discusses the Amoraim preparing for Shabbos on their own, so we see that the Mila that's attained by their involvement is the fact that they were physically taking part in the preparation for Shabbos, cleaning the house, preparing the food, etc. Because that's also key in Kavod Shabbos, even if the actions you're doing themselves are only a hechsher for oneg, but the fact that I'm being machsher the oneg Shabbos with my own actions, that itself is covered Shabbos. And the pshat in that is lechora that I'm being mechabe the mitzvah by not sending out the job to somebody else, not delegating someone else that responsibility. So that shows chibuv mitzvah, and that's what the real yisod of the mitzvah bo yosem shulcha principle tells us. And Twersky found in Knesset Yisrael a similar understanding, that it's based on the chavivus of the mitzvah. So now, what we see from there, getting back to the Ran, that's our original question, how does the Ran bring a raya from the Amoraim who were being Makayim, the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos themselves, which was a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? How is that a raya that there's an inner mitzvah of Yosem Shlucho by the mitzvah of Pruvu, the Hechsher Mitzvah Pruvu that she accomplishes through Kavod Kedushin? So the answer is, once we know that Chavivus is shown through physical involvement in the mitzvah, personal involvement in the mitzvah, so then it doesn't really make a difference what you're engaged in, if it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, or even if it's only a Hechsher Mitzvah, because as long as it's a Gufo Osik, as Rashi points out, Rashi has that Lashon at the beginning of the Gemara, that itself shows Chavivus, whatever it is that I'm doing, whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's a hechsher mitzvah, and as a result, we can bring a raya, because all the Ran is trying to do is tell us that just because the Amoraim showed, just as the Amoraim showed chavivus to the mitzvah when they were being osik in the mitzvah itself, so too that same chavivus can be shown when a person is osik in a hechsher mitzvah as well. And just as an aside, Rav Twersky added that just as we find the Taz quoted by Mishnah Berurah tells us that every person has to be Mechabe Shabbos l'fi ma shehu, according to his own abilities, so we understand that generally as a friend, how much money you spend on Shabbos, how much you're going to put towards the food that you buy for the Seudah. But you also find now, when it comes to an Adam Chashev, as much as he is an Adam Mechubad, he's able to be Mechabe Shabbos more by being personally involved in it and physically taking actions to prepare for Shabbos. So it manifests itself in that way too. Okay. Yeah.
How do you say in Shir that his diuk for Zeh Kvodos is Shabbos?
So moving on to the next Shir. So as we go back to the Gemara, so the Gemara has the two different limudim to teach a shlichus in Kol Torah Kula, starting with the Get. In our sugya, so right. So the first pasuk is shalach, and the second pasuk is adding on the extra hey shalach v'shilcha. Okay. So now the Tozer Rosh is the first one to ask why exactly we need two different psukim. What's so special about the woman shlichus that's not subsumed under the shlichus of the man that we should have been able to learn both of those dinim from the same pasuk? So Tosa Rosh explains that what's different about the woman is that since you can be megayrish the woman bal karcha, so that's something more mechudish and that needs a separate pasuk. The question is why does that really make a difference? Okay, so we will come to that a little bit later, but that's our starting point. So now, first, in order to get to that point, Rebbe laid down a very important yisod with several ramifications in a number of different sugyas. The first one was from the sugyan ksubis on daf mem vav amud beis. The Gemara over there is trying to understand why we need apparently two different psukim for kedushei kesef. Okay, the Gemara itself is going through the drushes. Tosas is the first one to ask why you should need more than one pasuk. We have on the one hand speaking asat lishazeh, and also the pasuk of ein kesef al nzeh v'yesh kesef al nacher. And Tosas wants to know why you need both of those pesukim. Lechora, one of them should have been enough to teach me kedusha kesef, and that the kesef goes to the father. So Tosas leaves that tzarchian, and the Shita Mekubetz is over there in Ksubis explains that I would have had a havamin if not for that second pasuk, that maybe when a father gives over his daughter, right, when she's younger, let's say she's a katana, for instance, so b'chiyai gavna, I might have thought that we already know that he has the right to give her over, but maybe he can give her over even without any kesef coming his way. Okay, maybe the ability to give her over to Kedushin doesn't necessarily earn him the cash. Okay, so that's a tremendous chiddush. Okay, that we would have even thought like that if there was no second pasuk that tells you under all circumstances the father gets the money. Now, what that shows us though is that clearly the parsha in the Torah that says that a father can give over his daughter to Kedushin is a different parsha than the one that refers to a normal woman being makabel kedushin on her own. Okay, so we're going to divide from now on into two different parts. The bogeris, who's makayish as atzma, by being makabel kedushin, as opposed to a younger girl whom the father is makabel kedushin for her and gives her over to kedushin. What's the difference between the two? So, the famous Ran in Midaram and Daf Lamed tells us that under normal circumstances, a woman, when she's makabel kedushin for herself, again, as a bogeris, the lumdus of that action is that she's kilu mafkir herself by being maskim to the Baal's offer to be makayish her, and then the Baal comes along and is machnas her l'shuso. Okay? But be'etzim, it's not that there's a das machna. It's not that the Baal offers to be makayish her and she says, yes, I will be machna myself into your shus. Rather, she's mafkir herself, and the Baal is the one in lumdus who's machnas her into his rishus. Now the Ran elsewhere in Gittin seems to use lashonos that imply that there is a das machna involved in getting the woman over to the shus of the Baal. And with this yesod, we can be mechalik that Ran in Gittin was only referring to a case where the woman was younger and the father was the one being mekayesh her. Okay, and that lays down the parameters for the two different parshias of kedushin that we're referring to right now. When she's a bogeris and she's makayish herself, so then it works like the Ran says in the Darm, like it does in normal circumstances, that she's makir herself and the Baal is the one who's makris her shusa. However, when she's younger, so there's the das makna of the father that puts her in the shus of the Baal. And the Tosas Rid over there in Ksubis, Membavam and Beis, indicates that as well, because he says when referring to a katana that the father is being makadesh, that he's makna osolo, that the das makna of the father acts to put her into the rishus of the Baal. Okay, so that's the distinction between the two different parashas, and once you have that, you can also throw in, although it's not really like kasha b'fnei atzma, but it's now. Yeah, okay, so what we're supposed to point out from the Mishnah is that the fact that the Mishnah uses in the second case, Isha Miskadeshet Bo Vishlucha, that the woman is able to be Mekayesh herself on her own or through the Shliach, and in the last case it says that Ish Mekayesh is Bito Kshinayra Bo Vishlucho, if it was really that the Ish Mekayesh is Bito Kshinayra Bo Vishlucho is that he deserves to be Makabel the Kedushin for her, but really it's Gil, she's the one who's being Mekayesh herself, So then the lashon in the Mishnah might have been a little different. It might have said a ish makabel kedushay bitok shinar bo b'shulcho or something along those lines. And since it doesn't, since it says a ish makayishes as bito, so that would imply that it's actually him who's doing the kedushin and being makna her to the baal. Okay, Ritzvi downplayed that. That's not really a big deal. Maybe only the same chidud, but once you have it, could be that's what the Mishnah is getting at. Okay, more importantly for us, we have another sugya in Ksubis that comes up a little earlier in Kedushin also, about Moser Habal, the Shluchei, Moser Hav, the Shluchei Habal, that Nisuin, you know, though we normally accomplish Nisuin by bringing the woman into the chuppah, that's the Rishus of the Baal. Another way for chuppah to take place, nisuin to take place, is that the father gives over the daughter to the shluchim that the baal sent ahead to the father's house. Okay, and question is, once we have Rav Twiski's yisod, Rav Chaim's yisod, okay, in terms of the differences between kedushin and nisuin, so we might run into problems with this. The hainu that we find a little bit later in the Gemara in Daf Yud. Sorry, a little bit earlier in the Gemara from where we are now in Daf Yud, the Gemara has a discussion in Kiddushei Bia that seems to contradict the Gemara in Yevamos. In one place it says that Tchilas Biakona, and the other place it says that Sof Biakona. Okay, and the Rishonim over there, according to Tosas, brings several answers as to why there's a difference in the two different sugyas. And Ravina Nisim Golan's Pshat, according to Tosas over there, is that in the sugya by us, that's referring to kedushin. So there we say sof biyakona, and the sugya over there that says tchilas biyakona is talking about not when he's being makaisha with bia, but rather after kedushin already had happened a long time ago, and now he wants to perform nisuin through bia. So then we say tchilas biyakona. So what's the pshat? So Reb Chaim understood, and this is quoted in Reb Shechter's notes from the Rav Shirim, I think on Daf Hey, that Reb Chaim understood that the difference between Kedushin and Nisuin is that Kedushin, as a Davar Sheba'erva, is what we call Hu Oser or Hu Matir. That it's not just that he does a Maisa and the Torah says a certain Chalos happens, but rather the Torah gave him the Koach through his Das in the Maisa that he performs to be the Bailim on the Chalos of the Kedushin, that he is the one that's creating the Ishus when he gives her Kedushin. And the same thing when it comes to Geirishin, not just that he gives her the get and the Torah's chal memela, the chalos of the get, but rather his nesinas haget, he is the bialim on that chalos. He is the one who is causing her to be nisgarish. Okay, that's on the one hand. The other hand, you have things like nesuin, you have things like ibum, chalitza, that are just the opposite. That really, you're not the bialim. The Torah says, do the following maisa, and once you do the following maisa, memela there will be a chalos min hashamayim that takes place, whether it be in Yibum, you're causing the Ishus to begin with the brother who's being Yabim her, but his Maisa Bia in the case of Yibum, that's just a Maisa that the Torah tells you to do. It's not that you have the Koch to create the Chalos through your Maisa Bia. You do your Maisa Bia and the Torah makes the Chalos happen. Okay? And Reb Chaim understood that Nisuin is similar to Yibum and not like Kedushin. That Nisuin is just a din that requires you to perform the Maisa that's Machnas her into your Shus. And then once you do that, Memela, the completion of the Ishus that we find with Nisuin, that's a chalos that happens Memela. Okay? So now, how does that reflect itself in Tchilas Biakona and Sof Biakona? So, what Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon is telling us is that when it comes to Kedushin, where you're the Bialim and the Chalos, Hua Oser, Hua Matir, so when a person has Bia, so his his intention is to complete the Maisa Bia. So if his intention is to complete the Maisa Bia, and in Kiddushei Bia, since it's Kedushin, you are the Bialim on that Chalos, so we're going to follow what your intentions are. If your intentions are to complete the Maisa Bia, so then the Kedushin will not be Chal until you complete the Maisa Bia. However, when it comes to Nisuin, since you're not the Bialim in that Chalos, it's just the din that the Torah says, if you're Bol and Isha, that is your Arusa. It counts as Nisuin. So then we're only going to require a Maisa Bia. Sama Maisa Bia. And in general, the Shem Maisa Bia in Kol Torah Kula is defined even as Tchilas Bia, what we call Ha'ara. Hara. So if that's correct, that's how we understand why Tchilas Bia is enough, according to Ben and Nisim Gom, by Nisuin. So if that's correct, so we have another problem, because when it comes to this distinction between things that are in your power to create the chalos as opposed to other things that you're not actually doing the chalos, it reflects itself in the ability to make a tanaya, the ability to make shlichus. Okay, as we find based on the Gemara in Ksubas that Ayin Dalet, there Reb Chaim proves that kol milsa the isa b'tanai isa b'shlichus, and we find from the Rishonim that the chiddush of the parsha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is that it's mistaber that someone who is the bailim in creating a certain deal on which he's appending a tanai, because of his bailus in creating whatever the deal is, whatever the tanai he's stipulating, that's what gives him the right to make the tanai. The fact that he's the bailim, and therefore things that he's not a bailim over, he shouldn't be able to make a tanai. The Gemara Tzushels, most of these are b'tanai isa b'shlichus, that hu adin, only things that you're a bailam over, do you have the power to create a shliach, to perform in your stead. And if the Torah just says, okay, we want a certain maisa to happen, but it's not that you're making any chalos as that goes on, so then you don't have the ability to make a shliach to do that, because that's not in your power to play around with the chalos, because the Torah didn't give the chalos within your bailus. Okay, so that's why you'll only be able to appoint a shliach in Kedushin, in Geirushin, where you are the Bailim, but you can't make a shliach to perform chalitza for you, for instance. So the thing is, if we put Nesuin in the same parsha...
Is that just your Chaim's episode, or that there was a mock-up for that?
What?
That's the difference between you and chalitza in terms of making... But you know, that's the difference to make a shliach.
Why Reb Chaim splits between...
The fact that's why... By chalitza you can't make a shliach, and by Kedushin and Geirushin, yeah.
So the Gemara says Mefurish in Daf Ayin Dalet Miksubis that you can't make a shliach by chalitza, and says it's the same reason because of the fact that you can't make a tanai huadin, you can't make a shlichus.
The Gemara is colored on the fact that you can't make a tanai.
Correct. Okay. So now if that's correct, Nesuin, we already described before based on Nisan Gon, Nesuin falls under the category of things that you don't have bailus on, such as Yibum and chalitza. So if that's correct, so you shouldn't be able to appoint a shliach when it comes to Nesuin. And nevertheless, we're discussing a case in the Gemara of Masar Ha'av l'shluchei Habal. So how is the Baal making a shlichim over there if he's not the Baalim on the chalos of the Nesuin? So that was the question. So it could be, there's a suggestion, we don't have a clear-cut mahalcha as to why there should be a distinction, but if the that Gemara, and it is, of Masar Ha'av l'shlichei Habal is referring to Kiddushei Ketana, right? And we already brought Raya's to explain that the Parsha of Kiddushei Ketana is different than the Parsha of Kiddushin of Bogeris that she's Mekabels on her own. So then, it might not be bound by the normal rules, and it could be that the Nesuin that follows Kiddushei Ha'av, when he's Mekayesh's daughter, could be that Nesuin is not bound by the same parameters that the Nesuin, by a normal Ishus, of Bulgaris and Makabal Kedushin on her own is bound by, and as a result we shouldn't be bothered by that kasha. Why the Nesuin of this Kedushin is going to be different than the Nesuin of that Kedushin, that we didn't explain, that's still Tzarachian, but at least it opens up the door for us to understand why we won't have that that issue of how they're sleeping by the Nesuin. Okay, so now getting back to the Tosa Rosh's kasha, so we basically answer the question along the way, because the Tosa Rosh says that you need a second pasuk to tell me that there's kedush, that the woman can send the shliach to be makabel get from the baal. Why? Because since get is baal karcha, so it's more of a chiddush that she can appoint a shliach. So the point is, because something that's done baal karcha, you're gonna tell me that she's not really a bailim over, right? It's the prerogative of the bailim to appoint the shliach. And if she has to be makabel to get whether she likes it or not, and the gerushin has nothing to do with her own decision, so that's an indication of the fact that she's not a bailim. If she's not a bailim, she should not have been able to make a shliach. So that's why Tosafot Rosh says you have a special gzeiras hakasuv to allow for her shliach in Kabbalah's Kedushin. That's more or less what Rav Twersky said on that topic, and it's basically from the Rav based on Rav Chaim's Yisod that we explained, and you can find it all in the Shirim from Rav Shachter. Sure. 1 second. Okay, so that is a natural segue into shir number 3, where we can talk about another mahalik and why the there's a special gzeiras hakasuv that tells us that the baal, not only the baal can send a get with the shliach, but also that the woman can be makabel get with the shliach. Okay? Now, Twersky began by extending what we had up until now in Rebbe Chaim's Yisod, that the ability to appoint a shliach is a function of the fact that you're a bialim. We find the same thing when it comes to shlichim and mitzvahs, and tanayin mitzvahs, that you're not really a bialim on a ma'aseh mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a bialim on the ma'aseh mitzvah, and you don't have the power to start playing around with how the ma'aseh mitzvah is going to be performed. The hainu, through your tanai, to make different conditions fall into place. The example of Twersky gave later in the shiurim was, I can't make a tanai that I'm going to count Sfiras HaOmer now, but the chalosh shouldn't happen until you pay me $100. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, there are certain types of tanai that will work, but they work for different reasons. They work because my kavana wasn't present. If I say I want to count Sfira now during Bein HaShemashos, and I only wanted to count al tanai that it's already nightfall, so there I'm not really making a tanai of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. I'm just saying that I don't have kavana for it to fall into place if it's not really the time to be counting in the first place. But to make a tanai in the chalos of the ma'aseh mitzvah, I'm not the bound to do so. And hu adin, I shouldn't be able to appoint a shliach to perform a mitzvah for me. I can't tell you to put on tefillin for me, because I'm not the bialim on the ma'aseh mitzvah to decide that this morning, even though I'm mitzvah and tefillin, you're going to be the one to be mekayim it for me. Okay, and that's something rather mechudish, just because we're used to two more traditional mahalchim and why there's no shliach by ma'aseh mitzvah. Number one is the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid says the reason you can't appoint a shliach for a mitzvah, first of all, it's not always true. But when it's true that I can't appoint the shliach, it's because I'm going to end up having no part in the mitzvah. Okay? Meaning to say, if I appoint the shliach to be mafresh truma for me, so we know that works, it's a pasuk, and Gemara learns it from its Tzad HaShava also later, I can appoint a shliach to be mafresh my truma, because in the end of the day, the mitzvah is being makuyim on my truma. I can be makadish, a woman, ayideh shliach, because in the end of the day, I'm going to be now married to that woman. But to perform a mitzvah such as tefillin alidei shliach, so it ends up that I have absolutely no shaychus to the kiyum mitzvah. It's all done based on your actions, and you can't bring it back to me in any way. I can send the shliach to be bodek my house for chametz, because at the end of the day, my house will be mekayim the mitzvah, not the house obviously, but through my house I'll be mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. Because in my house the chametz was destroyed, much ankin tefillin, something like that, I don't end up with any remnant of the mitzvah, so to speak. That's the Tosfos Rid. So says the reason that you can't appoint shliach on ma'aseh mitzvah such as tefillin is because when it comes to tefillin, the Torah is makbid that the mitzvah should be done on your guf. So forget all the fancy answers we've had up until now. Just push it a reason that if the Torah is mitzvah me to put the tefillin on my arm, so when I'm appointing shliach to put it on someone else's arm, I didn't do what the Torah told me to do, so I didn't really get anywhere. But now we have to go back to Reb Chaim's understanding. If the reason I can't make a shliach on a ma'aseh mitzvah is because I'm not the bialim, so how come we have some examples, like Kedushin, like Hafreshes Truma, where I can appoint a shliach to be mafresh, or to be Mekash Tish? What's the difference? Isn't that an example of me, through my appointing of Shliach, expressing bialis over the Ma'aseh Mitzvah? So Twersky explained, based on the Rav, that you have to be Mechalik. Sometimes the Torah is Makbid on the performance of the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. Sometimes the Torah is Makbid on the performance of the Chalos of the Mitzvah. When it comes to Kedushin and Truma, so what the Torah wanted is that the Tevel should be Mesukun. I wanted that you should be married to the woman. So whether I do it personally, or whether I appoint someone else to do it for me, in the end of the day, that chalos will have happened on my behalf. Okay? Mashenkin, when it comes to tefillin, so there's no chalos in the result of the fact that the tefillin was put on my arm, per se, that's divorced from the ma'aseh mitzvah itself. No, the Torah was makbid that I should perform the ma'aseh mitzvah, that I should put it on my arm. So that's the type of mitzvah that the Torah said is unacceptable if performed ayideh shliach. Okay? Now, getting back to what we were discussing before, so we have now the mahalach of the Ad David. Okay, the Ad David, his understanding in the Shitas HaRambam also explains to us why there's a difference between the shliach of the Isha and the shliach of the Baal. Okay, we're familiar with the Shitas HaRambam, Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishos, Halacha Tezvav, that a Baal who sends a shaliach to mekadesh a woman does not need edus to testify that his minhag shlichus took place. On the other hand, the woman does need edus that she was mamana shliach to be makabel kedushin. Okay, so what's the difference? So when we talk about shlichus and kol tar kula, so in general, you know, without getting into fancy lumdus, what basically happens in every single situation in shlichus and kol tar kula is that the shliach performs a maisa, and that maisa is misyaches back to the mishaleach. Okay, so that's clearly what's taking place in the example of the Baal sending a shliach to deliver a get, to deliver a kedushin. However, when it comes to the Isha, so when you send a woman, or I'm sorry, when you send a man to be makabel the get for you, for that matter, so then he's not doing a maisa, right? It's not that he's doing a maisa that's misyachis to him. The Baal's the only one who does the maisa. The maisa of nesinas haget into the yad ha'isha, into the yad of the shaliach. But there's no inyan of shlichus and kol tarah kula through the shliach of the Kabbalah, because we're not faced with a maisa that's performed by one person that's sent back to someone else. So instead, what the Yad David says takes place when the woman is mamana shliach in Kabbalah is that she makes yado ki yada. She makes his hand into her hand, dahainu, giving him the koach that his Kabbalah should count in the same way that her own Kabbalah the get counts. Okay, and that's not the parsha of shlichus and kol tarah kula.
It's more than just that he does in yachis to her, but like who for her, his hand is nefshavka her hand.
Right. So that special koach that he now has, that his kabbalah should count in order to be megarish her, as soon as he accepts the get. So that's a very big chiddush that works, and that's not subsumed under the regular parsha of shlichus. Right, and as a result, it's a little bit different because it's not really a question of guf. It's really a question of the fact that when he gets it in his hand, it counts to be megarish her. Okay, when we use yadok yada, it's a little bit figurative. The point is that his yad.
It doesn't have to be mamish yada; it could just be that.
Right.
No, it's not yada. It still works.
Right. What's that?
But it could be al-tzqatzer or something.
Yeah, whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, the point is that his kabbalah counts in the same way that her kabbalah counts. So that's a chiddush. That's why you need a separate gzeiras hakasav to explain why the Isha can be mamana shliach, to be mekabel get, to be mekabel kedushin, etc. Okay? Now, that also takes us somewhere in understanding the machlokas Rambam and Ravid about the halacha we just read. According to the Rambam, again, you need minoi shlichus with edim only in kabbalah saget. Masha ein kein, when it comes to shliach, to be molech the kedushin, to be molech the get, that does not require edus. The Ravid says no. The Ravid says, Bein Kabbalah, Bein Halacha, you always need Eidus that the Minah Shlichus took place. Right? What would be the alternative? That no Eidim saw that the Shlichus was created, was commissioned by the Baal. Rather, both the Baal and the Shliach come to Bezdin and say, yeah, it happened. He appointed me as a Shliach, and the Shliach is molded to that. So Ram says that's fine when it comes to Shliach LaHalacha. Ravid says that's unacceptable. You need Eidim to testify that was done, and only Eidim can substantiate that. Okay, so now the basic mahalach to understand the machlokas lefi the Yad David, based on what we just said, is really just a question of what we consider nechal in the davar shebe'erva, right? Because we know davar shebe'erva requires two Eidim, right? So if so, according to the Ravid, all preliminary steps, okay, being what leads up to the halacha of the get and the nesinas haget or the kedushin in this case, or what relates to the halacha, the kabbalah or the halacha, sorry, both sides always require edus l'kiyam adavar, because there's a davar shebe'erva. So every chelik of that process is also going to be bechlal the davar shebe'erva that requires edus according to the Ravid. Okay, and Torah explains that could be because, according to the Ravid, the idea of davar shebe'erva requiring two edim, l'kiyam hadavar, is a din in the totsah, in the product, in the result of the whole process. That in the end of the day, the fact that this get is valid and that gerushin takes place, so that end result has to be substantiated through edim. Okay? So now, if that's the case, so both sides of the coin, whether it be the shliach of the baal or the shliach of the isha, require edus l'kiyum hadavar, because in the end of the day, they're both bringing about that totsah of the get. Mashenkin, according to the Rambam, the requirement of two edim for davar shebe'erva is a din in the maisa gerushin. It's only a din in the maisa gerushin. Okay, so if that's correct. So when you think about the halacha of the get, so that's not really part of the Maisa Gerushin itself. The only part of the Maisa Gerushin that we can actually call the guf ha-maisa is when the get or the kedushin transfers from the hands of the baal or the shlech in this case to the hands of the isha. Okay, so at first glance we know for sure we're going to need edim at that point in time. Again, when the kedushin transfers hands into the hands of the isha. Okay, but we will not require that for the minor shlichus, because that's not the etzem ma'aseh kedushin. You'll tell me I do need it when it comes to the minor the shlich and the kabbalah of the get. That's not the shas ma'aseh kedushin, right? So that's what the Yad David is telling us, that when it comes to the type of shlichus that's taking place when she's mamana shlich the kabbalah. So that is a davar shebe'erva. That is b'chal davar shebe'erva, even according to the Rambam, because that is necessary for the ma'isa that takes place when the shliach gives it over to count, again, as her kabbalah. Because when she gives over that koach, so it's a very integral part in the ma'isa kedushin that takes place later. Okay, it's not...
I'm sorry, I don't see the... What?
Okay, now where we stand with this is that, again, the difference between the Rambam and the Ravid, based on what we've seen in the Yad David, is if we're makbid that there should be Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar on the Maisa Kedushin, and in that case, according to the Rambam, only the Isha's Minor Shlichus is fundamental to the Etzem Maisa Kabbalah Kedushin, or according to the Ravid, we're really focusing on the Totsah, and therefore if we're focusing on the Totsah, everything along the line has to be substantiated with Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. Okay, so now in the next year, so once we started working with Reb Chaim, so then the Mahalach becomes a little bit different and actually ends up being a little bit reverse from what we started with. Now, comes out, based on Gemara's and Gittin, that Eidus Miuchedes works, Lahalacha, even when it comes to Minoy of Shlichas on a get. Okay, Eidus Miuchedes means that I can tell one Shliach, and the Shliach acts as an aid, I can tell one Shliach, write the get for me, and I can tell another shliach separately that you should also be part of this ksiva nesina to the isha. We'll say it's a case where he told her, where he told the shliach to both write it and give it over, right? And that really shouldn't make any sense, lefi what we've said so far, because the way we're learning up until now is that the way it works when you're memana shliach lekabbalah is that you have a davar shebe'erva and you need kiyum hadavar, so that would require both edim to be there at the same time when you're being memana each one as a shliach. You can't have one guy who I'm being memana shliach and then the next day I'm memana the other guy, because it comes out that each minoy was only done with one eid. So how could it possibly be that the edus miyuchedes could come together later and form a bona fide edus? So it must be that even the Ravid holds that minoy edus, I'm sorry, that minoy shlichus, even though it requires Eidus, the fact that it can be done with Eidus Miuchedes shows us that it's not Betoris Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. Rather, it's Betoris Eidus L'Vurei Milsa, like in any other situation. Eidus Miuchedes works when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. If one guy saw me be moded to someone that I owe Ruvain money, and another guy, at another occasion, also heard me say that I owe Ruvain money, so then those two guys can come together in Besdin and be Mechayimi. Because when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, there's no problem of Eidus Miuchedes, because again, the Eidus is only Levurei Milsa. So what then over here? When it comes to Minoi, Shlichus, on the Kabbalah, that's also just Eidus Levurei Milsa. Okay? So what's the machlokes between the Ram and Ravid? So it's a question of what the standard of Eidus, what the standard of substantiation is when we're trying to verify that the shlichus and that the kedushin took place in the first place. The hainu, the point of having edus along the line is to make sure, as we mentioned before, that once you come to the ma'aseh kedushin, once you come to the ma'aseh gerushin, we know every stage in that process actually took place. Okay, and one of the elements that we need to know took place is the fact that I appointed Reuven as my shliach, or that she appointed Shimon as her shliach. Now, the difference is, according to the Ravid, he says the same standard of Eidus that's necessary for the Kedushin or the Gerushin themselves is to Eidim. That same standard of Eidus is necessary on other processes, such as the Minoy of the Shlichim. However, the Rambam is going to say that no, you can even get away with a little bit less. As we find in other areas of Halachas, there's a Yerushalmi that says, that if I have a piece of chalev, right, and one aid comes along and says, yes, that is taka, a piece of machalos asuras, so when I come along later and two aidim give me asura and they watch me eat that piece of chalev, so I'll get malchus for it. The verification of its status as chalev is only made by an aid echad, that's okay. Because once we know that aid echad works be surim, so that's enough to make this piece of meat piece of chalev, and then even if later, in order to get onshin, I need two eidim, that's okay, because as long as the status of chalev was determined by one aid, that sets the stage and establishes that as a piece of chalev, and if two eidim see me eat it, that's going to give me malchus. So the Rambam is going to say that when it comes to minor shlichus, the same is true. I don't necessarily need two eidim, mamish, to testify that I was mamana the shliach. Rather, as long as I have a form of eidus, such as what we mentioned before, as the Rambam mentions himself, both the Baal and the shliach are moda that the shlichus was set up, that'll be good enough to set the stage later for the actual Maisa Kedushin to be chal. Because as long as once the Maisa Kedushin takes place, I can substantiate the Maisa Kedushin with the hodah on both ends, that's good enough for us. Even though, again, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid is in what the standard of the Eidus that's necessary to substantiate it is. Comes out, again, according to the Pshat and Reb Chaim, so lefi the Ravid, all preliminary stages, dahainu minoy shlichus, with Eidim, bein b'kabbalah, bein b'halacha, those are not part of the Devar Sheba'erva. Okay, this just summarizes everything. Rather, they're just there, the Eidim are just there to have a high level of biror that the shlichus took place, and therefore that everything was set in motion for the kedushin of the gerushin to take place later. Whereas according to the Rambam, no, the requirement of eidus ever by minor shlichus is going to be this davar shebe'erva factor that the David or even according to Reb Chaim is going to understand similarly, that there's a special halos that takes place when she's mamana the shliach. So Reb Chaim is going to tell you that davar shebe'erva requirement is in place in the minor shlichus of the isha. It's not in place when it comes to the shlich laholacha that the Baal sets. Doesn't the Rambam also hold that you need to substantiate the shlichus of the Baal? So the answer is yes, but that will require a different standard. Even hodah is good enough, and the Rambam's not going to go as far as what the Ravid requires, which is to aid them all the way. Okay, and again, the difference according to Reb Chaim as well in the Rambam, why only the second half, the shlech lekabbalah requires eidus, l'kiyam adavar, that's because, as we mentioned before, the shliach lehulacha is just the yad shlishi of the baal. It doesn't make a difference if I give the get or the kedushin with my right hand or my left hand or my shliach hand. Once I have the pasher shlichas, it's just a matter, a technical question of how I get the get or the kedushin to the isha. But there's no special halos that's chal that allows her kabbalah to be transferred to the shliach that makes his kabbalah like her kabbalah, and that's the chiddush that is part of the davar shebe'erva according to Reb Chaim, according to the Ad David, and of course you want to say that might be the pshat in the words of Reb Chaim, the chol kiyum haget toli al yidei shlichus dida. That's why you're going to need eidus kiyum adavar for that purpose. Okay, finally, last year on this topic, the fifth year, was where Tursky just was mimic a little bit into Reb Chaim's Yisod and Hilchos Yibum Chalitza that we discussed before, that when it comes to Kedushin Gerushin, Hua Osir Hua Matir, he's the Bailam the Chalos, Masha Enkein when it comes to Nesuin, Yibum Chalitza, etc. Okay? So where do we find any remnants to that? right? We don't know why there should be a difference that one category should require Eidus Kiyumadav or one should not, and Mehechatesi that chiluk is even true. And Vayter, the source of the whole sugya of Eidus Kiyumadav is later in Kedushin. The Gemara says that we learn the requirement of two Eidim. Davar Davar Mi Mamon, just like Mamon needs two Eidim, so too Dvarim Shebe'er also need two Eidim. That also doesn't point us in any direction that would indicate like Reb Chaim's Yesod. What do we have in that sugya? So, two Mahalchim. The Rishonim, the Rajba perhaps, and the Shittim Gubetzes over there, learn that the connection between Davar Mi Mamon tells us that just like Mamon requires two Eidim, so too I need two Eidim by Davar Shebe'er, not because they're similar to each other, because one is Lakim HaDavar, one's not Lakim HaDavar, but I know that I need two Eidim in both places. Whereas the Ketosis Mahalich ends up being Mechadish, that just like the Davar Mi Mamon connects the two, it's also telling us something very Yesodistic, that it's not only Davar Shebe'er that has this requirement of Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar, but even by Eidus and Dini Mamonis, that's also Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. It's a big Chiddush, and not so Pashut, but no matter how you learn the Sugya, we don't know why anything in that Gemara should point to the Chiluk that Reb Chaim makes. So Tversky explained that the Pshat should be like this, that if we understand that Davar Shebe'erva is obviously only a difference, is only something that takes place in the chalos of the Kedushin of the Gerushin, something that makes her into an Eishesish, something that takes her away from being an Eishesish. So it's obviously not something that focuses on the Maisa of the Baal. To hand her a Tabas doesn't really do anything significant. It's rather the chalos that's created al yidei the Nesinas HaTabas. Okay? And that's the chalos. The only problem is you can't really see a chalos. So how could it be that the Gemara tells us you need Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar to see the chalos? That is the Davar Shebe'erva. Where's the chalos? You can't see it. So Elamai must be that his Maisa Gufa, included in that Maisa, latent in that Maisa, is the chalos. And that's how we find that Hua Osir Hua Mata, that it's really his Maisa that performs the necessary stages for the chalos, and the chalos is included in the action that he does. So that's why you need Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar on his Maisa. Okay, because again, it includes the chalos. So now, we still find examples of other Rishonim, such as Tosus a little bit later, David Beis, and Nuki Yosef. They say that you need Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar on other things, not only Kedushin and Gerushin, but Yibum, Chalitza. These are things that the Rambam L'Chora does not have Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar on, as Reb Chaim proves in the Sefer. But if some Rishonim hold that you do need Eidim on those things, so it would seem to be a little incompatible with what we're saying. So we have to understand that side of the Machlokas as well. So Tversky brought in the Machlokas, comes up in a number of places in Shas, regarding the Sugya of Nimsa Echremem Karv Apostle. That Halacha is, when you have a Kat of Eidim, so if one of them turns out to be a Karv Apostle, so even if you have a Kat that's made up of 10 Eidim, all of them are knocked out of court, and we can't use them for Eidus and Dine Mamnas, Dine Fashas, whatever it is. So the Rishonim ask, when it comes to a case of Kedushin, so you always have members of the family, of the Chassan, of the Kala, present at the wedding, so L'chor, those are Krovim. And since they're Pasul, they should Pasul even the two Eidim that are up there at the Chuppah watching the Kedushin take place, because they all form one big Kat. And we know this klal, Nimtza Echmim Karv Apostle, tells us that the entire Kat is Apostle. So how do we get around that? So there's different Mahalchim in the Rishonim. One Mahalch is that Be'emes, you need Kavana Lohoid. Okay, that's what the Rashbam says in Bava Basra, I think. Quoted and tells us in Sanhedrin. Also in Bava Basra, I think, that it's not enough just for the Eid to be present, but at the Shas Maisa, you also has to have Kavana to be made. And if that's not present, he doesn't become part of the Kat, and therefore won't passel all the other people who are present. I have another answer in Tosus. Tosus says that it could be that the Kat Eidus is actually determined not at the Shas Re'iyah, but at the Shas Haggadah. So even if you have a lot of relatives at the wedding, that won't passel all the Eidim, unless they all came to Bezdin together, you're good, because only the two Eidim who are watching up front come to Bezdin, for instance, and as long as it's just the two of them together, there won't be any problem of Nimsa Echemem Karv Apostle. However, the Ritva quotes a Ramban on Daf Mem Gimel, I think, that that gufa is going to be a difference between Dine Mamanis and Dine Nefashos. I'm sorry, Dine Mamanis and Davar Shebe'erva, Dahainu. The Ritva says that the way you get around the problem of Krovim at a wedding is very simple. You are Miyachid Edim. You say, the Chasim says, that the two Edim who are up there at the Chuppah watching the Hariat Mekudeshesli, those are the only two Edim to the exclusion of everyone else in the crowd. So that knocks out the ability for anyone else to mess up the Kat Edus. So how could that possibly be? When I have a Rotzeach, and he's about to kill someone. So it would be a joke if we said that he has the ability to be Miyachid Edim. He says, I want you two guys to be Edim on my Ritzicha and no one else. Doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? Everything we've been saying up until now. That when it comes to Edus Lakima Dover, Dover Sheba Erva, so you're the Bailam and the Chalos. So if you're the Bailam and the Chalos, and those two Edim are integral to that Chalos, so then you have the ability to say that these guys will function in that fundamental element that makes my chalos happen, and everyone else in the crowd, everyone else who's watching, the krovim, the psulim, they will not be edim on the chalos of the kedushin, the gerushin. So that's obviously only shayach if I'm the bialim on that chalos. If I'm the bialim on that chalos, then I can determine who will be part of the edus and who will not be part of the edus. Yeah. Okay, so we come out with that difference between dinim that are devar shebe'erva, getting kedushin, where you are the bialim and the chalos, and therefore you can be miyachid edim, as opposed to when it comes to Dinei Mamonos, Dinei Nefashos. So there the Eidos are just external validation, okay, that a certain event took place. Eidim Labir Hadavar, that they're going to come to Bezdin and tell us what took place. But not that I should have the ability to be Miyachid those Eidim, because I'm not really the Bailam Nechalos, and that's not what the Eidim are there to serve as. Okay, so again, so it comes out that according to Bali Tosis, not like the Ritva, not like the Ramban, the Edus, Lakim HaDavar, by Dvarim Shebe'erva, is really the same thing that it might be by Dinei Mamonos, that it's just their external validation, but not that it's an integral part of the Edus that makes it happen through my Chalos. And that's why there might not be a difference between Yibam, Chalitza, Kedushin, Gerushin. All of them are going to require Edus, Lakim HaDavar. Okay, just to finish this up, we're actually going to jump to the end of the Shirim, Shirim Lamed and Lamed Aleph, where Rav Tversky discussed the Rush in Siman Zayin, which also has a discussion of this Machlokas between the Ram and the Ravid about whether or not you need Eidos on the Mina Shlichus, right? And the Rush tries to bring a riot to the Rambam from the Sugya of Artsui Artsi Kameh, where the Baal is Makadesh on behalf of the son, right? We're trying to figure out why it is that that you do need Eidus, you don't need Eidus in that case. So the Rush seems to learn the Gemara as Zachan Adam Shlobafanov, okay? And Zachan Mitam Shlichus, okay? And if it's Zachan Adam Shlobafanov and Zachiz Mitam Shlichus, so then you see that I don't need Eidus, the Rush says, on Mina Shlichus, because there is no Mina Shlichus that ever takes place. That Zachan's working through Shlichus, even without there being a Minoi. So the Rush uses that as a riot for the Rambam. Okay? Just Agav, how do we know in that Sugya that it's a Zchus? So that's what the Gemara is talking about. That the son in some way expressed interest in the girl that the Baal was, that the father was Makayish for him. And as a result, we know it's a Zchus. Okay. So now, the problem is, how is the Ravi going to learn that that Gemara so that it's not a kash on him from what the Rush asks? So we had a number of understandings. The first one, well, it's a little dachuk. Of course, he said that the Ramban has a different understanding than the Sugya. They're talking about a case where the father suggested to the son, you know, how would you like to marry so-and-so? And the son didn't respond out of embarrassment. He didn't want to make the father look bad, whatever it is. So then we have to discuss whether or not what the father did in being Makayish, the girl for his son, counts. Okay? Okay. So if you learn like the Ramban, there's no kasha on the Ravid, because the whole case is different. There never really was just as chiyam mitam shlichus. In fact, it might have been a real shlichus on the tzad that the son's shtika counts as a minor shlichus to the father, and then the father goes and is makayish to the woman. So then you don't need to come on to zachan adam shel b'fanav. But it really was a shlichus, and there were two edim who saw this interchange where the father suggested that he's going to be makayish the girl for his son, and then yitaka do have edus on the minor shlichus, and the rive is okay. Answer number two, in understanding the rivet against the Rosh's Kasha, is that we can make a new kimta that the taka were two edim who saw again the exchange between the father and the son. In this case, the way we originally learned it, like the way the Rosh learns it, that the son mentions to the father that he's interested in marrying the girl. Aye, so what did we solve for ourselves? So going back to the prime we learned a few minutes ago, so the way the rivet understood that whole parsha of edus on the shlich l'holacha, shlich l'kabbalah, is not because minor shlichus is part of the davar shebe'erva, just because the end of the story, the kedushin or the gerushin, since that's a davar shebe'erva, so everything along the line, the whole process has to be substantiated with the standard of two edim. And if you don't have two edim on the intermediary preliminary processes, so we can't verify that minoy and that shlichus actually took place, right, to the extent that we want to, because we want everything along the line to be held up with two edim, the strength of two edim. So over here, you talk, I have that. Even if I don't have edim on the minor shlichus itself, but I do have edim on the fact that the son told us that this girl is someone he likes. And once we know that, so then even if it is zachan ladam shel b'fanav, and even if it is zachim itam shlichus, we know it's a zchus. We know that every process along the line has two edim to back it up. So whether those two edim are on the actual minor shlichus or on the information that's necessary to determine that this is a zchus, that's all the Ravid is willing to say is absolutely required. And therefore there's not going to be a kasha on him, because again, even l'shita so, everything along the line is covered. Okay, that's number two. Answer number three is that no, Taka, maybe the Rosh is entirely wrong. Why? Because it could be that since the shlichus of zachan lam shel b'fanav, of zachim tam shlichus, kicks in at the time that the father does the ma'aseh kedushin, because not only does he do the kedushin, but he also becomes the shliach of the son at the very same moment. So if that's the case, it could be that that's also considered a minoy. And there really are two edim standing there, because the two edim have to be there anyway to watch the ma'aseh kedushin, so they will also be there to serve as the edim on the ma'aseh minoy of the shlichim. Okay, so just as an aside, that's really the end of this this issue. But Rav Twersky added that it comes out a little funny, because Rav Chaim at the beginning of the piece in Hilchos Gerushin that we discussed before says that the reason the Rambam has to add in a new reason of Ein Me'idin Al Katan is because we can create a case where there's no actual shlichus. There's no actual shlichus on Kabbalah Saget, such as when the Kabbalah Saget takes place through Zachan Ladam Shal Bafanav, right? So when she's sending a shliach, so we can knock out a katana easily, because a katana is labar das. And if you're labar das, so then we know ma'atem b'nei das, afshulchachem b'nei das, and ma'ashulchachem b'nei das, avatem b'nei das. So she'd be out of the picture anywhere. So anyway, so the Rambam has to add in me'idin al katan to tell you that it still won't work mitam zachin. And that's why he mentioned that additional reason. So everyone asks on Reb Chaim, how could that be that you're going to tell me that it's like there's a minor shlichus on something that doesn't actually have a formal minor shlichus, because it never happens. The zachen happens with the zechir mitam shlichus all in one shot with no separate edus on the minoy. So now, again, the kasha on Reb Chaim is that how can you say that there's a minor shlichus that takes place through zachen that that's what we're being made on if, again, Zechir Mitam Shlichus doesn't actually have a point in time where she is Maman her Shlichim. So, if that's the Kasha on Reb Chaim, comes out that that's it. Going to be the Kasha, that's going to end up being the Pshat on the Ravid. Because the Rosh asked on the Ravid, I, according to the Rambam, over here, it's Zechir Mitam Shlichus, and nevertheless there's no Edus on the Minoy. Shows you that there's no requirement for Edus on Minoy of the Shlichus. And the way we're going to answer for the Rav is by saying no. Since at the time that the father does the Ma'aseh Kedushin, that's when the minrei kicks in. So that is the requirement for edus in this situation, that there should be edim watching the ma'isa kedushin, because also in that ma'isa kedushin is subsumed a minrei shlichus of zechiya mitam shlichus, and the Ravid is saying exactly what he should be saying, that you need edim on minrei shlichus as well. Okay, now the irony, okay, is that it comes out that the way Reb Chaim said pshat in the Rambam versus the Ravid, when we see this rush, we're saying the total opposite for the Ravid and the Rambam than Reb Chaim would have said, because the Ravid is the one who accepts now that there's minor shlichus even when there's no actual minoy. You have edus on minor shlichus even when there's no formal minoy, and the Rambam is the one who rejects that, because the rush is trying to say that that goof is the riot to the Rambam. That goof is a riot to the Rambam that you don't need edus on minor shlichus because there's no formal minoy in the case of Artsui Arsi. So I mentioned this to Twisky after the shir. So he said, first of all, it's not the first time that Reb Chaim argues with other Rishonim in the same Pshat and Rambam. That's okay. Reb Chaim's not necessarily Meshubit to the Rush. But then he said, Goynus. I didn't get a chance to check this up, but he said offhand, he thought that the Rush holds like Tosas and Ksubis about Anan Sahadi. That the way Zechim and Tam Shlichus works is through the Anan Sahadi, which we explained in another shir, means that you don't actually need a ma'isa minoy shlichus. You only need the gilui das. Once we know that this is the person's das, that he would like such a minoy shlichus to exist, that's good enough. That counts as minoy. So if that's true, so the Rosh had to ask the question he asked. He's saying he could not accept what we're saying in the Ravid, dahainu, that there really is a minor shlichus inherent in the maisa of the father giving over the kedushin to the daughter, because it doesn't actually exist according to the Rush, right? According to the Rush, you give the kedushin. Enachanami zechiyam mitam shlichus. But zechiyam mitam shlichus is not that there's a minoy that I become your shlich and then I do the maisa kedushin. It's just a din that since I know that you want it, memela, I have the power now to act as your shlich to be mekayish the woman. But not that there's a point in time when there's a minor shlichus. Whether I can see it or not, it doesn't exist. But you can only say that if you're the Rush and you hold like Tosfos and Ksubis, and that's why he asked the kasha on the right.